This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
2007.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good afternoon, Tuscaloosa, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Friday morning? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope everybody's having a great day, getting ready for a big old weekend. Hope you got some big old plans in your life. You guys, what are we going to do? We're live at the Derry Daniels State Farm Studios today. You're watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page, on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We appreciate everybody who's found us there on their favorite platform. Go ahead, hit a subscribe, rate, review on your favorite platform. Love to see the five-star reviews going up on Spotify, on the Apple Podcasts, everywhere. So we're going to have a lot of fun in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios today on a Friday with you. Invite you in on the comment section at JoeGaither6, at Bama Central, at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. You can send us a comment right there, or you can join us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to be like our friend Roy in Lake Gunnersville, a couple times this week, we had a mystery caller as well. We'll take all the phone calls right there on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Yesterday, we had Miss Katie Windham join the program. You can go back and listen to that on all those platforms we just mentioned. But today, we will be joined by Mr. Will Miller. Will Miller of Alabama baseball fame. He is the Bama baseball beat writer for BamaCentral.com. And we want to catch up with him because only a couple more weeks left of the baseball season. It's been a minute since we have done that. And we also want to delve into WrestleMania with my friend Will Miller, because Will Miller, Mason Woods, and myself all are excited, I would say. Well, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but excited for WrestleMania weekend. So that's going to be what's on tap today. We're going to talk about Dane Brugler's 7-round mock draft. We want to look at where everybody got it selected, everybody got slotted to, and decide what kind of fit that looks like. Dane Brugler does it at a super, super high level.
I think he does it just about better than anyone, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. And the voice you just heard is our friend Mason Woods. You follow Mason Woods, MAWoods_. He's going to be helping us record. He's going to lead All Things Bama, a new episode of All Things Bama here in just a little bit after we record this. Good morning, Mason. What's going on, man? You excited? And what? I mean, you were telling us briefly about your night before we got on air, but a little fun time at the university last night.
Well, yeah, you know, went with my wife to the university. What it's Allen Bells Theater, I think, is what it is. Saw the student production of Cabaret last night. She had a great time. I didn't have as much fun. It's just musical theater is not really my thing, but you know, hey, it's okay. I'm glad we went. You know, she had fun
there for the wife.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I'm sure that I will look back on it and be able to, you know, make some funny comments in the future and things like that. So, you know, I had an okay time, though.
Very good. Very good.
I've lost my camera. Oh, there we go. Camera's back.
Goodness. Your camera's having a lot of
fun. Yeah, the last two days. It's really struggling. Got late. Got home a little late last night, so I'm a little tired this morning, but we're doing okay. I'm ready to get into this mock draft, like you were saying, and talk about who I think is probably the premier person for draft coverage. I think they give you the best information if you are looking for draft coverage.
Yeah, I think I pay for The Athletic at like $20 a year, however it accrues across my bank account.
I read pretty much exclusively things from Dane Brugler. Every now and then I get some Alabama things, a few Titans stories here and there, but for the most part, I'm paying for Dane Brugler's content.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So Brugler puts out his beast about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, something like that.
We've read Jalen Milroe's draft profile. We've read Jad Campbell's draft profile. I don't want to read another profile until next week. Maybe we'll have we'll look at Tyler Booker's profile. Tyler Booker slipping into the second round, maybe. Ugh, very, very interesting. So we'll have Will Miller join us in just a minute. But none of our listeners, well, maybe all of our listeners are excited for WrestleMania, but most of our listeners are going to be excited for the NFL draft. And so that's what I want to start with. The NFL draft next Thursday, and I've got Dane Brugler's seven-round mock. First off,
a seven-round mock.
That is insanity.
That's why he's the best. Like, you don't get that from everybody. You get maybe two, maybe three rounds from most people. A full seven-round is like, this guy is doing the work.
Nobody's courageous enough to do that, in my opinion. So here we go. Let's look. Okay, you've got a bunch of Alabama. What's 11? We have 11 prospects. I know that Katie sent out our draft prospects a couple days ago. I wrote CJ Dupree for this morning on BamaCentral.com. Let's just start it. We'll take it right in order. If you're an Alabama fan, Dane Brugler says that you have to wait until number 19. For your first overall draft pick in this year's draft, Jihad Campbell, number 19, to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Lavonte David is back at 35 for a reason, is still playing at a high level, but this would be a great opportunity for the veteran to help Campbell get introduced to NFL life. The Buccaneers are going to have a defense-heavy draft, especially in the early rounds.
I've been saying it for 2 months. This is like a perfect fit for Jihad Campbell. Let him sit for just, you know, a little bit behind Lavonte David, who has been one of the best linebackers in the NFL for the last 10 years, if not more. And just let him learn for a little and then release him to the rest of the league. Unleash him on the NFL, you know, in his sophomore year there. I love this fit. I think it would be perfect. I'm not 100% sure, you know, if Jihad does make it that far. I think, you know, a lot of teams are very interested in a linebacker with his upside. He's, you know, extremely athletic, kind of fits that we talked about, that modern mold of linebackers now, which is kind of where everybody's trying to go, to a more rangy guy that can play multiple positions and not someone who's maybe going to be stuck in one spot. Jihad Campbell is the perfect candidate for that. So, you know, it may be a bit of a struggle for him to even fall to 19. If he does, that is can't imagine a better pick, better fit.
I can't imagine a better fit for Jihad Campbell personally. But again, take us back to our conversation right after Pro Day. You click next when you on this mock draft. You hit Control F Alabama, and it pops you up to number 19, Jihad Campbell. Next, you're out of the first round. We'll get to who these are in a second. But the concept here: you're out of the first round. You had one NFL first round draft pick on the 2024 team, and take me back to 2 days ago with our caller who said, he's in over his head. The Warriors in over his head. One first-round draft pick on the team in 2024, and DeBoer goes 9-4.
I know that the information, the data is out there to support the argument that, you know, teams with the most first-round picks typically win national championships. I remember, you know, within the last couple of years, that story from someone coming out, and I remember seeing it coming across my timeline and being like, yeah, no, I'm not surprised by this information, but I'm glad to see it all here laid out in front of me. The teams with the best players win games. Alabama did not have the best players last year. I know that's a bit strange for some people because you're not used to it, but it just is what it is. Alabama did not have the best players last year.
Well, you look at the team, and like everybody, I do it too. You think about the team. Player X, I think about Player X as the best version of Player X as possible. Of course, every team wants him. No, I don't know.
I don't know that you got the best version of insert player for, you know, a lot of the team last year.
All right, so we keep going. You got what, 11 or so draft picks? When I hit Control F Alabama, I have 17 selections. So I'm guessing there's a bunch of duplicates here at the back end of this article here. But number 34 brings your next draft pick. You go to bed.
He's got 9 selections.
You go to bed on Thursday night on one draft pick. I think you're not really. I think you're feeling. I think reality sets in a little bit for the Alabama fan base, and maybe it already has, and maybe I'm shortchanging you. And if it is, if you are, I'm sorry, but I think that that piece of evidence will be pretty significant. Like, oh, Malachi Moore wasn't a first rounder, because I think people all just think that he is because of,
he was here for so long. He was so good.
Right, right. Yep. Well, he's an undersized safety. He's going to end up being, I don't know where he is on this list, but third, fourth, fifth round is how we're going to go here. Like, you're better, your team leaders. I mean, we credit Malachi, Deontay, Tyler Booker, and Jalen Milroe for leading the team last year. Well, Deontay hurt and not playing a premium position. Hurt at the end of the year. He played well. Booker not playing a premium position. Malachi Moore not playing a premium position. And Jalen Milroe, a mutated version of a quarterback.
Yeah, sure. Oh, man.
So you've gone to bed on Thursday night, and Alabama's had one pick, and you are thinking about, I'm thinking about Tyler Booker. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking, what the heck did y'all not see on tape?
Yeah, I mean, what team's getting a steal here with Tyler Booker?
Top of the second round. The Browns open up the second round by taking Jackson Dart.
I didn't even notice that when I was looking at this. That would be.
I think he's right. I think
he probably is, but man, oh, man. Jackson Dart in Cleveland. Ooh.
This is a heck of a. This first five picks of the second round are very just SEC centric and interesting. He goes Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe to the Giants at 34, Luther Burton to the Titans at 35.
I'll take it.
Former Alabama and current and Ole Miss cornerback Trey Amos to the Jags at 36, and Tyler Booker to the Raiders at 37. So just these five, but specifically these two: Jalen Milroe at 34 to the Giants, and Tyler Booker 37 to the Raiders.
Jalen Milroe to the Giants is very intriguing because...
Does Brian Daboll commit suicide? No, or Daboll thinks he can coach him, Daboll obviously. Probably,
yeah, Daboll seems like the type to be like, oh yeah, I can do it. We can fix this. We can make this work. I mean, you know...
He coached Jalen Hurts here.
He did. That's intriguing because, you know, obviously, I think a lot of people have seen the Giants have been linked to Shedeur Sanders throughout the draft process. You know, he's having the... private workouts with the Giants executives, all this stuff. But obviously, if they are interested in Jalen Milroe, I don't think they'd be going back-to-back quarterbacks. So, you know, I think he has them taking Abdul Carter in the first round here at pick three. We've talked about it a lot on this show. If I were the Giants, I would probably not opt for that plan. I like that plan better than taking Shedeur Sanders third overall. I'll say that. You get a premium player with Abdul Carter. You get an elite edge rushing talent. And then, I mean, with Jalen Milroe, the upside is still there. I'm not going to sit here and act like he doesn't have a high ceiling. His athleticism is incredible. He's got a very strong arm. If you can just rein it in, he could be a good quarterback. But there's just so much work that needs to be done. And, you know, I don't know that the Giants are necessarily the team to do it, given what we've seen from their quarterbacks. It seemed like Daniel Jones just got worse and worse every year. Drew Lock never looked good in his time in New York. Insert whatever quarterback it's been basically since Eli Manning.
What's the Giants fan base? Take the temperature of the Giants fan base in terms of quarterbacks. Let's say Mason Woods morphs into a Giants fan right now. You've been watching Eli Manning win you two Super Bowls with, you know, good quarterback play. Yeah. Good. And then from Eli goes to Danny Dimes. Was there someone in between?
I feel like there was, but maybe not.
I don't think that there was.
I feel like there may have been a bridge guy at some point, but that might have just been because Daniel Jones was injured.
Right. So you've been watching Daniel Jones for 4 years now. Actually longer, because they signed him to that extension.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think it was Eli to Daniel Jones. But you signed the extension. You've been watching Daniel Jones for a
long time.
Four, five, six years. Oh, yeah, they had Tyrod Taylor for a second as like a backup 1 year when Danny got hurt. And it's all been just makeshift quarterback play. Just making chicken salad out of chicken bleep. Are you really signing your fan base up for Jalen Milroe?
Got Russell Wilson.
Jameis
Winston.
I'm sorry. To me, it just sounds like we're doing the same thing all over again. Daniel Jones to Jalen Milroe, incomplete quarterback,
with different holes.
Yes.
And Danny could run too, but just different holes.
Yeah.
Some similar processing, I think, is a similar hole in each of their games. Mm-hmm. But you're taking an incomplete quarterback and you're saying, yeah, we'll just make it work. That would make me, if I'm a Giants fan, you don't do that to your fan base. They're not in a place where they've seen,
when was the last time you saw good football in New York?
They're tired. That's my point. They are tired.
The last time, I think, probably 15, 16, it's been 10 years since they've seen a competent season. And because the last 2 years of Eli were bad.
And if I'm a tired football fan and you serve me Jalen Milroe,
That's the point.
Not that he's like, look, they're gonna boo him anyways if they don't like
sure.
him. Okay.
It's gonna be like
the leash is not long.
It's like when the Knicks drafted Porzingis. It's like, who the is this guy? What are we doing?
Right. It's not Jalen's fault. Yeah, it's not the Giants' fault. It's the Giants' fault for setting the table and creating the environment of all our fan base is tired. All our fan base has been watching mediocre to less than average quarterback play for the last 5 years, and they're like, please give us somebody we can watch. You just shipped off the best play thing we had in Saquon Barkley. You let him walk out the door. Like,
you got Malik Nabers.
Dude, just let him go to the Ravens. Just let him go to the Steelers. Let him go to the Steelers, because the Steelers strike me as a fan base that has high expectations, mm-hmm. very high expectations, like Alabama fans, but also has a sense of objectivity. We know who we are. We've had three coaches in the last 50 years. It's been Tomlin, Cowher, and Chuck Knoll, right? Three coaches in like 50 years. We have stability. You know, we are not wavering. Of course, you know, we tried the Kenny Pickett experiment, but if we can get you Jalen Milroe in the second round, like, that's a fan base that will let you kind of grow into the league. That will let you, okay, we got a real good defense. We got a decent running game. Well, I don't know what their running is going to look like without Najee anymore. Their offensive line has not been good for the last couple of years. I just think that this is an element to consider when drafting Jalen Milroe.
I think the Steelers they feel like a better landing spot to me than the Giants do, just because of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. I mean, they got Mason Rudolph. And I don't even know who else they have. The only quarterback I know that they have on the roster right now is Mason Rudolph, because the Russell's gone, Justin Fields is gone. So
but the GMs will not consider this, will they?
No,
GMs will think, this is my player.
Sure.
I can make him work. He's going to work here. Everything's going to be great.
I think
Jalen to New York is a disastrous move.
Yes, it feels like it's not going to work. I don't think it's going to work. I mean, not like they paid either of the quarterbacks they have currently a lot of money, Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, but like, you did go get two guys that have starting experience, one of which was a starting quarterback for most of last season. So like, you have your solution there. Like, you've already kind of been like, all right, I don't understand why you're going to take a flyer on a guy when you already have like bridge quarterbacks in place.
Right.
It's not like,
this is your 1 year quarterback.
Yes.
We're not drafting a quarterback unless he's in the seventh round and we're just getting a guy, right? A camp arm.
For the Steelers, you know, Mason Rudolph, he's not a good quarterback, but he's going to be there for a while. He will be the backup quarterback and then for the next 10 years in Pittsburgh, probably. Mm. And you just let Jalen Milroe sit on the bench for a little bit. You get your mediocre quarterback play from, you know, Mason Rudolph. He'll win you 6-7 games, probably. That's about it. And then you just throw Milroe out there. I don't know. That feel to me, it just makes more sense for the Steelers to draft Milroe than it does New York. I feel like, I don't know. The urgency is a little bit more there in Pittsburgh than it is in New York. In New York, you can wait another year and, you know, wait for when you have a real like shot at a premium quarterback. I don't know. Just interesting.
Brugler's little paragraph. As I reported last week, Milroe has accepted his invitation to the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay, creating even more intrigue about when he will hear his name called. I like this fit for both sides, a young dynamic quarterback for the Giants to develop and a landing spot for Milroe where he won't be thrust onto the field before he's ready.
Yeah. He'll just be thrust to the New York media.
Dude, he'll torture them.
Probably, yeah, we
did. Will torture the media. It'll be, well, I just focus on getting 1% better today. Well, Jalen, what you think about starting this week? Well, we're just worried about the little thing. We're just worried about controlling our controllables. Well, Jalen, you know, Russell Wilson had a bad game. Did you? It's just gonna be. He's just gonna give him the.
I mean, he's met with other teams. Do we think, you know, do we think the Seahawks?
Seahawks, Rams.
The Seahawks pose a moderately interesting landing spot, I think. The Rams, I don't really understand as much.
All right, let's move off here because Will's in the back end, and we want to complete this mission before we bring Will in here. All right, so the Raiders are at 37 with Tyler Booker, and Raiders, that would be a great move. Yeah. If he's still around, just take him. Who cares? Like, I don't care who you got to guard. I was looking at it earlier. You've got Jordan Meredith and Dylan Parham. Third round pick.
Dylan Parham. I really wanted the Titans to draft him a few years ago.
So go ahead and get yourself some Tyler Booker. Continuing on, who's the next Alabama guy on our list? That's not right. That's not right.
Malachi Moore?
No. He's got an error here. He's got an error here with in the fifth round in Control F Alabama Eagles, Carson Vinson.
Alabama A&M.
Okay, that's why.
It says A&M beside it. If you just,
I did that
yesterday too. I was like, who is Carson Vinson?
You're exactly right. All right, so next is Malachi Moore right there at 172. Oh, you know what? So many Alabama fans will be so happy at 169. The Bills. He's got the Bills taking Seth MacFarlane. Roll Tide. All right, Malachi at 172 for the Seahawks. Fifth round. You jumped from a second round, two second rounders, one first rounder, two second round picks, and then you're sitting on your butt. You go into bed early on Friday because no third round picks, and then you don't have to click into the draft Saturday at 11. I guess is when the fourth round starts. Get into the draft about 12:30 on Saturday for the fifth round. Like, are we seeing the problems on the 24 team here? Not only are the better players in non-premium positions, but they're also not necessarily the best players at their position. Look, Malachi was amazing. I don't want to see Malachi in a dark alley. I don't want to be running across the middle against Malachi myself. But if Malachi were an elite safety, his name would be Brian Branch.
Sure.
And he would have been a second-round draft pick.
Yep.
And he'd be making money with the Detroit Lions right now.
Winning me my fantasy league.
Look, that's a harsh way to put it, but that's truth. That's reality.
Yeah, it just is what it is. Malachi Moore, I mean, I think there's room for Malachi Moore on the NFL roster. He's just going to be a player. He is not going to be, you know, an instant impact guy. He's going to be a work his way into the rotation through special teams probably. Really have to grind it out. Probably, you know, might spend a little bit of time on a practice squad here and there. Who knows? I just, you know, he is not the player that I think a lot of Alabama fans kind of think he is in their heads, which, you know.
Because he went to Hewitt Trussville. And if they win crimson, everybody got.
And just, I love that. Hey, and that was awesome.
Of course.
And that's, you know, I like to see that that is still, you know, being carried along after Malachi Moore now. But he never at any point last year was, you know, an elite player at his position. He was always just pretty good. And that's what a fifth round pick is. You're pretty good.
And here we go in the sixth round. We've jumped down to the sixth round now. The Cleveland Browns at 179 taking CJ Dupree.
Another guy who, you know, not going to be an instant impact guy, probably going to be, you know, special teams, maybe works his way into the rotation as like a third tight end kind of deal. But I think room for him on an NFL roster.
202, Los Angeles Rams is still in the fifth round, taking Quandarius Robinson. Like, come on, what are we doing? We're saying the same things about all these guys. 214, LA Chargers. 214, LA Chargers in the sixth round, taking Tim Smith. Here we go. And then, so
that's all of them.
I missed. No Robbie Oots?
No Robbie Oots. Wow.
No Rob.
That's a mistake.
No Robbie Oots at all?
No.
And so there's your 2024 Alabama season. Like, all your draftable players are getting drafted. Look, Tim Smith plays a premium position. You play defensive tackle. You play defensive end. Q Robinson, you play one of the most premium, yeah, edge rusher, and you're in the sixth round. Like,
good players, but not elite.
Yeah, good college players.
Yeah.
All right, so going to have a lot of fun with the NFL draft next week. We will. I can't wait. Yeah, exactly.
Future Super Bowl champion Cam Ward.
Oh man, we're gonna have a lot of fun with the NFL draft. Let's turn our attention. Oh man, I closed out my notes page, which had my ad read on it. So right there, boom. Let's turn our attention to Will Miller. We're gonna talk about Alabama baseball blowing the game last night and what they've got ahead of them for the last couple of weeks. Then we'll talk about WrestleMania, and then we'll all have a great weekend. Before we do that, though, we want to tell you about our friends Warren Tire and Auto. They've been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Russ Warren is running that thing right now. Go see him today. Warren Tire and Auto is the go-to place for all your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to serve you for tires, brakes, and alignment. You can reach out to them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. For all your other automotive needs, you can see them on University Boulevard. Call them there at 205-758-2739. So two great locations to get you in and out and back on the road. Tires, brakes, and alignment on 15th Street. Front end work, electrical problems, AC problems, oil changes. You can see them on University Boulevard right there by the hospital. The two great locations in iconic places in Tuscaloosa, really. And you can get them in and out, back on the road. Warren Tire and Auto, we're proud, proud partners with them. The premier place for all your automotive needs.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, let's have a lot of fun. We're going to keep it going on Friday with our friend Will Miller. You follow Will Miller at Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine. Alabama baseball kept him up late last night, blowing the game. They were up 5-1, ended up losing by the time I was done with it. I think it was 11-5 by the time I was done with it. Maybe it progressed even further. Before we get into Will's baseball and ask him how he's doing, Will, we've been dancing around the draft today. You're the GM for the Denver Broncos. Who are your Broncos selecting in the first? Do y'all have a first-round pick, and who are y'all taking?
You know, that's a good question because it seems like the Broncos up until last year just couldn't draft, and I'll give it to them. Marvin Mims was a steal, but he was not expected to be anywhere in the neighborhood of what he is now when he was picked. And back then, we didn't have first-round picks because of the Russell Wilson trade and the unmitigated disaster that was. I know you guys were talking about the Steelers and which I would point out, Mason, you left out the best part of the Kristaps Porzingis thing. You left out the Tingus Pingus part, which
I was trying to remember it, and I couldn't remember really exactly makes, what it was.
Yeah. That's what really this? Makes that
Tingus
whole
Pingus.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. That's what makes that whole interaction like go is the who is Tingus Pingus? Yeah, that's the best part of all. But you know,
this is why we get Will on the show.
Yeah, It's not any type of actual sports insight. It's stuff like that. And thank you, guys.
For him to recall these memes from 10 years ago.
And I'll tell you, I really wouldn't mind the Broncos drafting Jahad Campbell for when they inevitably let Nick Bonito walk in free agency. I mean, because they're going to do that, and it's going to irritate a lot of the fan base as well as myself, but it would help to have another guy waiting in the wings be an impact player for us. So that's just throwing that out there, just kind of spitballing. I wouldn't mind that at all.
There we go. Broncos picking at 20, so we will see if they can jump ahead of the Bucks and take Jahad Campbell or Will Miller. All right. Will, we're really having you on for two reasons. To talk baseball, give us a little update. So, man, hearts are broken yesterday, but really it's WrestleMania season. So let's continue on giving the people what they want. Alabama-related content with the baseball stuff. Losing to LSU last night. Really, really disappointing. Up 1-0, up 2-1, up 5-1, and then really just collapsing from what my stat broadcast could tell me. I was actually eating in the Waffle House, having it on another tab, writing my CJ Dupree piece and keeping up with it. So where did it land? How did the Crimson Tide blow the lead last night? And really, what in the world's going on? Because it seems like every time I look up the last 2-3 weeks, it's been bad results.
That it does. Last night specifically was a bad one to lose. They're up 5-1 going into the sixth inning. LSU gets 3 runs in the bottom of the sixth inning. And then things really change in the top of the seventh. Alabama gets 2 on. They advance to scoring position with 2 out. And Justin LeBron gets rung on a low pitch, 3-2, to end the inning. Mike Morrison gets ejected from the ball game. LSU takes the lead in the bottom half of the inning. And, you know, the word Simon used was snowballs. And I think that's a perfect description of what took place. It ended up being 11-6. Alabama scored a meaningless run in the ninth when Kate Snell walked with the bags full. Last night was, you know, to say a comedy of errors would be an incorrect term, but it really does feel that way. When you look at the scoring line, when you look at just how things progressed in the late innings, I mean, that's kind of the conclusion that, you know, an objective observer maybe would get to that didn't, you know, see every pitch of the game. This was a game defined by momentum swings. These last 2 weeks have really been defined by some offensive struggles, and last night they didn't really have that. They hit a bunch of home runs, just didn't win, weren't really competitive at the end. The starting pitching has been a problem, which last night Tyler Faye did a really good job to open the series. They kind of shifted the rotation around. Part of it was just because of the short turnaround between Thursday and Saturday instead of Friday and Sunday, like is customary. You have obviously Easter coming up, necessitating some changes. You got Riley Quick going tonight, which normally Zane Adams has been the number one guy. Those two have been flipped around. This is a must-win game for this Alabama baseball team. I mean, last night was one of the most important games of the season so far. Couldn't get it done. Tonight becomes one of the most important games of the season so far. It's going to be your best starting pitcher on the mound so far this year. But I guess it comes down to how you're going to be able to manage not only the bullpen, because the bullpen was not sharp last night, but also just manage these momentum swings in an environment of Alex Box Stadium where it's one of the most imposing places in college baseball. They were out in full force last night. They're going to be again tonight. And that is so much of what goes into the experience of playing against LSU, is that when you have them on the road, that's another element to deal with. I don't think that Alabama really acquitted itself well in that area last night, and it was important.
Well, I'm watching like a casual, right? I'm watching in and out, and we know Justin LeBron is really the real deal. But I'm seeing you lose a series at Auburn, you know, you lost a series with Mississippi State. You're really just kind of, I don't know, up and down. And it's really, I think, I mean, correct me, but up and down since the Tennessee series. You've got a couple of weeks left. Is this just, hey, brother, Joe, you don't watch college baseball enough, par for the course, easy, this is just normal SEC ups and downs, ebbs and flows for a season? Because my spirit is weakening a little bit. My spirit is a little bit, you know, kind of withdrawing. So I ask you, is this just normal ebbs and flows? Obviously, Rob Vaughn, second year, learning lessons from last year. The program's been on the up and up. How would you assess where this Crimson Tide team is, even given maybe the rocky results lately?
Some of it definitely is ebbs and flows, and baseball's going to have those. They're 8-8 in the SEC, and I think outside of like five or six teams, if you tell them at the front end of the year you're going to be 8-8 through 16 SEC games, you take it. And I think Alabama's one of those teams that on the front end you'd sign up for that more times than you wouldn't. But at the same time, they've lost their last two SEC series. I would lean that it's probably likely they lose a third this weekend. And that's not where you want to be. They get swept. They're going to be 8-10. All of a sudden, they're below 500 in the league. Like I mentioned, their starting pitching has been an issue. And if they lose this series, that probably will end up holding true because you can't contend, you can't win without your pitching being on point. And Alabama's hasn't been. But like I mentioned the other day, it's been certain games they can pitch and don't hit as opposed to the other way around. Like you saw in the game against Mississippi State last Sunday, where they only had two hits, as well as Justin LeBron with a hard hit ball that was correctly scored an error, even though a lot of people wanted it changed to a hit on Twitter. But I digress. There have been a lot of different areas of concern to come up for this team. And yes, some of it is just normal SEC baseball. These are some of the toughest teams in the country, week in, week out. That being said, you don't want to lose a series to Mississippi State that's 3-9 in the league coming in, and a lot of people are calling for their coach's head, it seems like, every year almost, because, you know, they have a national championship, right, this decade, but they also have multiple years where they have single-digit SEC wins and missing Hoover, and that's not the standard over in Starkville. And Alabama goes and puts on a lifeless performance largely against them, did win the middle game of that series. So, yeah, something does have to give. Something does have to turn around. This team is capable, but it's about, you know, complementing that with action and delivering the results. That's what they haven't done yet. If they can steal these next two at LSU, that could go a long way.
So you mentioned, you know, obviously just inconsistency being an issue. Kind of, it sounds like something we talked with Katie about the softball team earlier this week. Sounds like they're both kind of having the same problems. But softball, you know, got the big series win over Oklahoma, and it feels like they maybe unlocked something. Do you think that, you know, getting a big time series win, if Alabama were able to say win this series this weekend, would that kind of unlock something, you think, for the rest of the season here? Or is that inconsistency still just a kind of a concern for you? Do you feel like just one series win here isn't necessarily going to mean anything for the rest of the year?
That's a great comparison, Mason. It's the one I would make because, yeah, I mean, you were right on it. I think the softball team's played the best they have all year, and there are probably a lot of cynical people on social media that would tell you that's not saying much, but, you know, money's still green in the end in this situation, right? They are. And I mean, they had a really, you know, they had really an offensive outburst in the early stages yesterday and ended up winning the game over at Florida. I certainly believe that a series win like this, and it goes such a long way because it also adds confidence in diamond sports. It's, you know, so easy to get mired in a slump, whether it be individual or team. And you get down and, you know, you show up every day and you practice, you take your hacks, et cetera, you throw your bullpen sessions, whatever the case may be. But you know something's not clicking, and that kind of has the potential to just pervade the mindset, you know, leach its way into the dugout. That is as dangerous as dropping a fly ball. When you're coming in with the mentality of, oh, I'm on the low end of the roller coaster, how am I ever going to get out? It's going to show in how you play. I think anybody that's played will tell you that. I think anybody that's coached will tell you that. So if Alabama can win this series against LSU, and I don't necessarily know if that is plaguing this team or not, but it could be. And again, it's potentially lethal because you have, for example, last season, 1st of May, they go to Starkville and the whole team gets food poisoning, from the hotel in Columbus. And after it took them a while to get back from that, but that's a point in the season that, you know, SEC tournaments in 3 weeks. And they were kind of listless after that throughout from that point until, you know, the end of the year. And they won a game, but, you know, they didn't have a great series. And I just think that that really affected them in the long run. And even though it's not food poisoning, I'm sure the guys on that team would tell you they'd pay money to never have to go through that experience again. You know, losing can be like a poison in some senses.
Will, did you pay your taxes this year?
Yes, I did.
Interesting. How about you? Yes, of course. Will, we're hanging out with Will Miller. You follow him at Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Will, can I pivot you real quick to football?
Sure.
We've gone on the extremes a couple of different times this week, and I like this topic, so I want to play with you as well. I want to ask you, is Ty Simpson Blake Barnett, or is Ty Simpson Mac Jones? If you don't understand the premise, I will go real quick.
I understand Barnett the premise.
Will needs no explanation.
I watched Blake Barnett play against USC, Joe.
Will, this is for the audience. This is for the people that didn't watch the show yesterday or for Tuesday. If you didn't understand the premise is that Blake Barnett entered the 2016 season as the presumed starting quarterback, but with hotshot freshman early enrollee Jalen Hurts on the roster pushing him. Mac Jones enters the 2020 season as the presumed starting quarterback with hotshot freshman quarterback Bryce Young early enrolling and pushing him. Both quarterbacks ended in drastically different ways. Both quarterback seasons ended in drastically different ways. What will Ty Simpson's season look like entering the year as the presumed starting quarterback and with Keelan Russell, hotshot number one quarterback early enrolling, pushing him? Will Ty Simpson be more like Blake Barnett or be more like Mac Jones?
I think everybody and their mother knows Keelan Russell will eventually be the starting quarterback at Alabama. And that is, I think, the one conversation piece that probably drives a lot of people in these types of discussions. So they can maybe have a distorted picture of what that looks like related to this year, because Ty Simpson is a guy that, you know, clearly has football acumen. You know, say what you will about him and his quarterback competitions against Jalen Milroe and Tyler Buckner once upon a time feels like a lifetime ago. But he's been in Kalen DeBoer's system. He's been in Nick Saban's system and clearly had a good enough spring to warrant just outright, which, you know, I know that a vast majority of our audience is not Alabama media, but it's a big deal for Ryan Grubb to come out and publicly say, okay, yeah, this is the guy at this point of where we're at who has gotten into pole position. I mean, that's something, right? And so, and I don't know what that means again for this year. You're not going to know until the curtain's drawn back for sure. I certainly think that there will be a question of how long Ty's leash is or whoever it ends up being if the quarterback competition is not, in fact, over. You know, it could be. It might not be. It's a still a long way to go until August. But to answer the original question, Joe, I see Ty Simpson actually falling somewhere in the middle. Like, I'm not trying to take a safe answer
to choose an extreme.
But one
national champion or off the team. There is no in between.
But what does he do? Does he take the transfer to South Florida and fade into obscurity path? Is that also
it was Arizona State first, right? It was Arizona State first.
Arizona State, South Florida. There was all kind of teams. It was
Okay. With 10 being Mac Jones and 1 being Blake Barnett, I'll give Ty Simpson about a 7.5.
Yes. Fair enough. More on the Mac and Jones or the Mac Jones spectrum.
We did this on Twitter the other day, and 83% took Mac Jones. Which, I mean, but look, you should be hopeful.
You should. I took Blake Barnett.
That's okay. That's okay. You're a miserable person.
Yeah, that's fair.
When the guy made the Facebook comment? Was that what that was about, Joe?
Which one?
When I don't know if it was you who sent it to me, but it was something about how this one guy said, don't agree with Woods on the quarterback take, but I like him.
So probably something like that. We love our commenters.
I'm not going to be a Ty Simpson fan until he makes me a Ty Simpson fan.
Comment on the show at Bama Central on the YouTube channel, at @MAWoods_, at JoeGaither6, and at @RealWBMiller today. Well, what are you going to do this weekend with Alabama baseball and WrestleMania colliding?
WrestleMania is probably going to be playing on my phone while baseball's on the TV.
There you go. Okay. All right. So let me read an ad real quick. Let's tell everybody where we are. We'll kind of wrap the Alabama portion of the program up right here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We're live off of McFarland Boulevard in Northport, Alabama. You can call Derek and his team at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Red Reese and Victoria are upstairs right now. They'd love to talk to you about all your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance needs, motors insurance. It's so nice outside yesterday. Oh, I wrote the show story on the back porch, and I was like, man, it'd be nice to be out on a boat, but you got to have boaters insurance if you're out on a boat. Home, life, auto insurance, boaters insurance, renters insurance. Call Derek Daniel, State Farmer, today for all of your insurance needs. 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today. All right, Will Miller, we did bring you on for Alabama baseball, but the real reason I brought you on is because we love wrestling, and it is a huge weekend. WrestleMania weekend kicks off. Really, it already kicked off, but SmackDown tonight, you'll get into Stand and Deliver tomorrow morning at 9:30. Goodness gracious, I think I will miss that a little bit. We want to walk the dog at least in the morning, and then we'll have night one WrestleMania Saturday, night two WrestleMania on Sunday. But, Will, I'm just starting right here because this week has been horrific for the WWE.
Yes.
It's the Super Bowl. I mean, look, we got to make it in terms of people who can understand. It's Super Bowl week, and the NFL is spending its week talking about the UFL all week long. All week long about the UFL and stepping in political landmines. What in the world's going on? I read that the head of PR got promoted to another department, so there's not a head of PR, or the new head of PR isn't quite in control. What in the world is going on? Why are they all ruining the best week of the year?
And this is my thing. They got a good WrestleMania card, and they've still got some things taking shape. I mean, we don't know on SmackDown tonight if they're going to book Nick Aldis to face Randy Orton, which a lot of people would be excited about. I'm one of them. Please make that match, Triple H. Still so much potential intrigue around this card. So many matches with so much heat on them that, honestly, there's a lot of good potential bookings that are completely flying under the radar. And, of course, as you touched on, Joe, rather than highlight those, and you're in Sin City. It's going to be a heck of a weekend. And it's like some people don't even know it's this weekend.
Are they all drunk in Vegas? Is that it on these podcasts?
You know, that actually could be the case.
That might be it. It feels like they've done a really poor job riding the wave from the Cena heel turn. Like that was the most WWE content that I have been force fed through like algorithms and things in the last decade. Obviously, I interact and I watch WWE, but you know, in times like this, like I get a little bit more than the average person probably. But it was like every other video was, you know, Travis Scott slapping Cody Rhodes or John Cena, you know, making the face at The Rock slitting it. Like, it was everything I saw online was that, and it feels like just every week, it's just gone further and further and further down the hype train, and I don't know. Feels like
part of it is because the angle has been booked terribly. You got Cena coming out and not saying a word about The Rock. I mean, it's been fun to watch John Cena roast little kids in the audience. And, you know, there's a hilarious aspect to that, to John Cena, when he's so obviously playing a character, coming out and talking about, oh, this little kid, he's part of a toxic relationship. You know, and there's been certain things. I mean, he absolutely fried Cody that first week on the microphone. But the momentum has not been.
I don't agree.
Know.
The momentum has not really been carried over.
The people chose me. You were chosen by a man in the boardroom. And again, Cena, you can't keep your mouth shut this morning, the headlines. I know people are going to be mad at it, but I just love Vince McMahon. I love Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, blah, 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 blah. And it's a brother. Like,
you can't just say that anymore.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Like, praise the Lord for CM Punk this morning. thank you, Phil. Well done. Phil comes out and says, another one of these podcast interviews, I'm sure.
And you know, he's not going to have a problem besmirching Vince McMahon, which Vince obviously deserves it. But even if he didn't, even if Vince was the most saintly person alive, which he's more to the other extreme on that, CM Punk would still probably find, or at least he would at least have negative thoughts about him.
I just can't believe that they keep stepping into sides on the political spectrum. Look, I get people feel one way or the other. Okay, great. And I'm not here to debate that or move you off your position. Great. But what's the Michael Jordan line? Republicans buy shoes too. Like, you want both sides of the aisle buying your product if you're an entertainment entity. Obviously, we know that Donald Trump is a WWE All Hall of Famer, and I'm not shying away from that, but like, it just seems like you're asking for trouble this week. And okay, it would be one thing for me, Will, if the commentary was living in the political realm. All right, fine. I can deal with that. I can give you free speech. I can give you people feel different ways, whatever. What in the will they leave Tony Khan alone? Please? Will you leave the AEW folks alone? Like, I get they're supposed to be little brother, and I get they're supposed to be the off brand.
Like, you've got half their roster right now. I mean,
you feel like bullying.
The top of the card is Cody Rhodes right now, the founder, one of the founders, preeminent faces of the company. They're all up and down NXT, former AEW people, other people on the main roster. I mean, you have got most of the pieces. I mean, I hear that, for WWE's purposes, we'll call him Rusev. He just signed back, here in the last few weeks, couple weeks. Things like that. I mean, it's just at some point, it's just not necessary to even acknowledge their existence.
Well, that's the point. Like, look, be competitive. Great. I'm gonna go do shows in your backyard. I'm gonna sign your talent. You're gonna sign my talent. Whatever. But it's the petty nyanya. Oh, he wouldn't do it if he wasn't a billionaire's kid. He wouldn't do. Oh, he's only doing it because he's got a bunch of seed money. Okay, well, they did just pass WCW for syndicate for like amount of time on the air, so they are doing something right. I don't know. To me, what you've done, Nick Khan, is caused me to go to HBO Max this week. I'm sorry. Like, hello, WWE Mark. I am watching WWE all the time. What I have done this week is turn to HBO Max and turn on Dynamite and Collision to check out this product, this AEW product that you guys are so afraid of.
Which is not what it was, but still pretty good.
I've enjoyed what I've seen on Max so far. I missed my Ricochet. So anyways.
What a another Vince McMahon mistake. God, you don't even get me started. I could go on rant after rant about Vince McMahon and his misuse of Ricochet. Ricochet was signed right when I first became a big wrestling fan, and he participated in that ladder match at TakeOver New Orleans for the inaugural North American Championship. And I thought, okay, this guy's got it. And obviously, he was never an 80-grade talker. Is what it is. Most of them aren't, truth be told. I did not think that should have precluded him from being a relevant face on either brand, and yet it did.
Well, so it's been an interesting week getting ready for WrestleMania. Because Monday's Raw was okay. Monday's Raw was okay. I am looking forward to SmackDown tonight. Let's start getting into it. Because regardless of what happens off the TV set, I will be right in front of the TV set when it's time for SmackDown tonight and for WrestleMania. So basically the last thing I see Will Miller is for SmackDown tonight to decide what in the world's happening with Randy Orton. Is there any other hanging thread for the weekend to be resolved tonight?
That I am immediately aware of, no. I just see, I want to see Nick Aldis wrestle, and this seems like as good a chance as any. So, you know, I don't know if Nick will do it, because you got to remember this is basically short notice for him too, because Kevin Owens comes out, you know, a couple weeks ago and is like, oh, I have to have neck surgery. I thought it was a shoot at first. Joe, I probably told you that. But now, you know, you're basically getting Nick into the ring with, you know, a couple years of rust and not a whole lot of preparation time. I don't know how the match would be, but I do want to see it. Like, that's the wrestling fan in me, is like, okay. And on the off chance that, and I really respect both guys, I'm a big Randy Orton fan, but on the off chance that it sucks, so what? I still want to see it.
So that'll be tonight.
They're going to let Randy Orton punt him if they get the match?
Then you need
to. I totally agree.
Got to. You got to.
You've been teasing the punt. He was definitely going to punt Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah. Need to see it.
You get a little Street Profits, SmackDown champions on. How about that? Hunter. Every time I see Triple H is a racist online, I think, no, he's not. No, he's not. That's a dumb take. But then you're going to book the SmackDown champions, the black tag team champions, on Friday night. You're not going to put them on a two-night WrestleMania show. You're going to put them on Friday night, regular Friday night TV show, which they're going to win. It's going to be great. That's like your best that's your most exciting tag team to me. I do love me some DIY, but can we get the tag team champions? I know they're black, Hunter, but can we get them on WrestleMania, please? I'm sorry, Will.
Yeah, I've been a big Street Profits fan since they were in NXT. You know, I am one of those Montez Ford, future Dynamite singles competitor believers. And that's not to say I think Angelo Dawkins is bad. I think that by sheer virtue of who his tag team partner is, he's one of the most underrated wrestlers on the roster. All that to say, yeah, there's no defensible reason to not put them on WrestleMania.
All right, so we're cutting Mason out just a little bit. Let's bring him in here. Night one WrestleMania, seven matches. I don't know if you're looking at the card or not, but here we go. You're looking at it. Great. Yeah. So look at these seven matches in the first night, and why don't you pick out what you are most excited to see, and we'll go off of that.
Man. It's a great night. I think the obvious choice is between the triple threat match with Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk, and the heavyweight championship with Gunther and Jey Uso. But I'm
disappointed. Jey, what'd you say, Will? Cannot win that match. It just cannot happen.
I hope he does not. I
think he's going to, but I hope not.
I think he is too, and I sure hope not, because I'm not going to be able to buy that for a second. Jey Uso taking down the ring general. Gunther is far too terrifying.
He's already like 0-whatever in world title matches in his singles career. Yeah, he's lost to Roman Reigns, what is it, three times in championship matches? This is not his first crack at the World Heavyweight Championship either. I mean, he has no credibility, and so, you know, he lost the U.S. title match to freaking Austin Theory way back when that was, you know, a thing going on. I mean, this guy in singles match, he's got one singles championship match win, and it's over Braun Breaker for the Intercontinental Championship, at which obviously later won that title back, and he's had it ever since. I mean, what is Jey in singles championship matches? I don't know if either of you guys know. It's one in like legitimately like 8 or 9, if not a little bit more. There's no credibility there for him to beat Gunther, and that's even before talking about who Gunther is.
That's going to take me down. Like, I'm going to be so excited for WrestleMania. That's going to be the first match, mm-hmm. and then Jey's going to win, and I'm just going to be like, it's going to take me down real hard.
I'm not a Jey Uso fan. I think it's very cool how much fans like him. The entrance and stuff is awesome. I can appreciate the fan interaction and things like that, every Jey Uso like aura clip I see is from an entrance. There's no
ring.
There's no nice moves being done. There's no high flying dives or anything. No, it's him coming in and waving his hands in the air and yelling yeet. Everybody's like, oh, he's so awesome. It's like, that's cool. But I'd like to see some moves. I'd like to see a move.
It's because the six-year-old love him.
That's what it is. And the six-year-olds apparently run everything because they're the ones that buy toys and merch. But, man, it's frustrating.
My lord, he's got the worst fear of mankind.
Boy, y'all see some of the merch prices. The lines to get it. People lining up
like I'm
7, 8, 10 hours beforehand to just to get in so they can get their greasy hands on a $3,500 signed championship belt.
I am that target audience, and I am. There's no chance. I'm like, you saw Triple H put out his new like Nazi belt that looks like Triple H or whatever, and it's like $900, and it's like, well, that would be a super cool like collector's item because it did look like Triple H's like legacy all over it.
Oh yeah,
but. Like all the, not they were it. Selling, Will, they were selling John Cena's Elimination Chamber clothes for $75,000. The clothes that John Cena turned heel in.
Somebody's going to buy it, Joe. I hope
yeah, someone's
going
to buy it and get like a John Cena wax figure to just set up in their house.
And it's like John Cena.
That's the kind of person that could afford such a such a purchase if they're already spending $75,000 on jorts.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a video of a guy walking out with like four t-shirts, and I just know that he dropped $250 probably.
You know, they have these shows that aren't televised all over the place. And you can buy, I shudder to think what they cost now, but the last time I looked, you could buy like a VIP experience ticket for $600 and something each. And so you get that, and it gives you, you get a chair, you get some sort of meet and greet opportunity, and you get early access to the merch table, which if you're spending $650 on a ticket to a wrestling show with no actual prestige whatsoever, you can probably buy a t-shirt or a belt. But I just, yeah, I don't know who even these days has the disposable income for that kind of stuff.
I'll stick with my $40 action figure every so often to add to my collection.
Although, man, a championship belt would look pretty sweet back behind you there.
It would, but like,
well, we're going to get a sponsor to buy it for
that price. Yeah, exactly. That price tag is like, I can justify $40 going out of my bank account once a month and putting a little action figure on my shelf. But like $900 belt. Ooh, I mean, maybe we're revealing ourselves right now, but that's a expensive trinket for me.
Yeah, not for me.
All right, Mason Woods is caught between the triple threat and the world heavyweight title match on night one. Will Miller, if those two matches were not on the card, you're choosing now between Rey Mysterio and El Grande Americano, War Raiders and New Day, Jade Cargill and Naomi. Ooh, that's a dark horse. LA Knight and Jacob Fatu, and then obviously Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. So between those, what are you pick? What's your most intriguing pick?
Well, to me, there aren't really any misses on that list.
It's gonna be
fantastic. As a Jacob Fatu mark, I have to go with that one. LA Knight's been the U.S. champion since last August, first week at SummerSlam, Cleveland. Nice, Joe. And we have seen these long mid-card title reigns under Triple H's leadership. That personally, I am not for, but we've seen them. And this is another one. You know, he's been the U.S. champion for 8 months. And Jacob Fatu has already had his coming out party. I thought he looked great in the feud against Braun Strowman. I think he is, obviously, as we all knew he would, far outshine Solo Sikoa on the microphone and pretty much in
any. Yeah, what I mean?
I mean, I think that he will win this title. I don't know if it's a squash match necessarily. It could be, but he's going to look really good doing it. It's going to be his kind of springboard into eventually the main event scene, which I think will be in by the end of the year. I'm really excited for that.
All right, then night number two happens. We're going to go to bed. Everybody's going to go to church, and then we're waking up on Sunday. Night number two, Mason Woods, dealer's choice again. Pick your favorite match out of night number two. Women's World Champion Triple Threat. I know Logan Paul, AJ Styles. You got a little women's tag team, Fatal 4-Way. Lots of action. You know, what you looking at? What's your favorite?
It's got to be the Intercontinental Championship. Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio. I love Penta. I have loved him Penta, please win. He entered. I'm all about Penta. I would love to see him win. I do like Bron Breakker. Not a big Finn Balor guy. He comes off a little corny to me.
You know who needs to win? Is Dom. Dirty Dom Mysterio.
Great. That would be great.
Well, obviously, the Judgment Day is going to finish fracturing in this match, right? I mean, that's yeah, incredibly yeah. obvious. We're finally going to see the end of the Judgment Day.
I would think so.
It was the hottest story in the company last SummerSlam after the whole mess with Dom and Rhea and then that whole personnel changeover that they had. And then they just did nothing with it.
Triple H has done that a couple of times in the last year, gotten a story up to a level 8, 9, 10 where you want to see it and then just like turned away from it. I don't get it. He did that with Chad Gable and Otis. Like that's all I wanted to see for a couple of weeks was Chad Gable and Otis just locked into a cage.
You mean El Grande Americano, Joe?
Right.
Woo.
Okay, so I think that number two, yeah, Mason, you hit. That's the match. The Fatal Four Way is going to be a lot of fun.
Great.
But Will Miller put us at the end of the show? Is it John Cena? Are we all booing? Has John Cena kicked the Rock in the gonads? Has the heel turn only lasted a couple of weeks? How will WrestleMania 41 end?
Cena will win the world championship. I'm okay with it. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of emotions from various fans around Cena in 17. But the fact remains he's going to get it. You know, there are a lot of schools of thought around it. Does he deserve it? Does he not deserve it? You know, Cody's been champion for a year, had a great reign, had some great matches, some great storylines. Should have dropped the belt to Kevin Owens, but I digress. I think this is where we are. And for John Cena's final run in the company, you know, the heel turn was executed great. I still think you're at a point where you can definitely turn this angle into something truly great. And in order to do that, he needs the world title belt. I think he's going to get it. I just hope Cody can get one last great match out of him. You know, his last WrestleMania match against Austin Theory. Now, granted, it's Austin Theory who, you know, when he was a babyface in NXT, was actually okay, but was just a tacky heel on the main roster. It was not great. It was not a good match. But I think that John Cena is going to win. It's going to be a great spectacle, and we'll see what happens from there.
Wise man, why are my eggs $45?
It's the tariffs, my tribal chief. One of the funniest wrestling tweets that I have seen since January 2024 when somebody put something up about the Ultimate Warrior and his speech before he passed away, and somebody in the replies was like, well, he shoot died.
Wise man, why are my eggs $45? Oh, man, Mason Woods, I'll leave you the last word on WrestleMania. What are you excited about? What are you fearful of, maybe? What do you hope might happen? I don't know. Give me inside the mind of Mason Woods as we land this plane.
I'll say I'm fearful that the WWE is going to try to put Logan Paul over in this match against AJ Styles. Oh,
they are.
Continue to push it. I know. And it's going to suck, and I'm going to have to watch it, and it's going to be awful.
And that match is going to be good, too.
It's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
But, I have no desire to watch Logan Paul AJ's on my TV.
WrestleMania's, Mason. I don't know if you'd really know a lot about it. AJ Styles is WrestleMania's, pretty much since he signed with the company, he had a really good match with Jericho and Shane McMahon in the first couple of years, which Shane McMahon is AJ's best WrestleMania match, if that tells you anything. It's been terrible. The Shinsuke Nakamura one was supposed to be like, and I know they were never going to repeat their match from Wrestle Kingdom in Japan, but it was supposed to be, you know, what, watchable, which it was not. Mm-hmm. You've had other matches that he's been in at WrestleMania, you know, that, you know, the Edge one was a dud. I mean, that one disappointed me. There's been others, but the fact that this is where AJ is, he's one of the greatest in-ring performers in history, and this is where he is at WrestleMania. Again, it's going to be good. Logan Paul is going to be one of AJ's better WrestleMania matches of his career and could end up being the best if it's an absolute barn burner. But the fact that AJ is going to lose sticks in my craw.
Yeah, that's going to suck. I'm just not going to have fun watching that. I really, really on a deep personal level dislike Logan Paul, not at all having to do with his character. It is purely outside of WWE. I cannot stand this person. Do not want to see him on my television.
That match is going to make Abby excited in my house, because I will be verbally booing the television screen, and she'll be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that one's going to suck.
But she's not going to howl and do it with you.
Tiffany Stratton's going to win this, right?
God, I hope so.
Because that's another thing. I sure.
Well, sir, we know Charlotte might have the power to decide, and Charlotte wouldn't put her over if it was unilaterally her call. So that one's a true toss up to me.
I don't want to see Charlotte Flair win. I would not like. No, would not be very overly interested in that. I'm over Charlotte Flair. She can go away. That'd be fine with me.
This story calls for Tiffany to, after Charlotte's gone off script so many times, Tiffany needs to just whoop her tail.
That would be great.
Tiffany Stratton by Andrade interference.
That's the ex-husband. That's Charlotte's ex-husband. All right, Will. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you're going to be up to this weekend with Alabama baseball, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, we're going to have live blog game coverage for these next two games tonight, 6 p.m. Central tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central. You're going to have both games on national television, ESPN2 tonight, SEC Network tomorrow before Easter weekend. You're going to have all your coverage, your updates. And if you want, you know, we talked about this series right when I first joined. If you want to see play-by-play analysis, everything in between of how it goes, you can stay locked in with Bama Central all weekend long.
There we go. Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine. Thanks for your time, Will. Hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely, guys. You too.
That's Will Miller joining us on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. And you joined us today on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, everywhere you get the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You got us right there at Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Subscribe to his podcast, All Things Bama. We're about to record a brand new episode of All Things Bama. We'll see where we go. We'll get into the weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. Oh my gosh, Mason, will we make it to Monday without a scholarship player going in the transfer portal? You got one linebacker, Nolan Ashbery. Hope you find a great place. Walk on linebacker. Put some tape out on Twitter the other day. Hope it works out great for you. Go find a scholarship and go be an All-American wherever you go. But no actual scholarship. Will we make it to Monday with no scholarship players in the portal?
I'm going to say yes.
I'd love that. I think that Kalen DeBoer, Kalen DeBoer's not so overt flex on them hoes right now. Like, okay, we're not saying that look at all these guys we got, but we haven't lost anyone at all. So, on all y'all.
Yeah. Obviously, they like something about the new coach. So, to anybody that does not, anybody that wishes he was maybe not coaching here, wishes that he would maybe be fired, maybe reconsider.
I think that's a very interesting element, and we'll talk about that even more on Monday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.